We begin the current daf and says Chagiga daf Chavdal. We begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion for the Mishnah daf Chav that opened up our Perek Chem Bakodesh, talking about 11 different stringencies that apply to Kachim, which do not apply to Truma. So the Mishnah continues quoting Chumra number 8, Harvi Bakodesh Pasal. Regarding the transmission of Tumah, there is different levels and gradations of Tumah. Starts with the most stringent is a corpse itself, is a via voice. Then lower than that is, let's say, a sheretz or something that touches a corpse becomes avatuma. Then lower than that becomes a utensil that can become a rishon. Then food items can become a sheni. Then that's where chulin ends. However, regarding truma, it goes even to a shlishi. It can become a third level. However, that's where truma ends. However, kachim can become even a revi. Can become a fourth level of tuma. So that's the stringency of kachim over truma, that truma ends at a shlishi. And however, revi continues the transmission of Tumah even to a Revi. So now the Gemara said, time to learn the Braisa. Amar B'yesi, Minayin L'Revi B'Kodesh Rupasal, where do we know the source of this halacha, the stringency of Kachim versus Tumah, that Kachim could become even a Revi? So on that, Rabbi Yesi says, V'dinu it's a Kavol Chaymer, because Uma Mechusi Kippurim, if we find by Mechusi Kippurim, now Mechusi Kippurim is somebody that has all the generic Taharis done already, which means that he already immersed himself in the mikvah, he already had sundown. However, he's the type of a person that's like a Zav, a Mitzari, that still needs to have an atonement. He still has to bring a carbon the following day, and he didn't bring his carbon yet on the eighth day, so he's lacking atonement. Such an individual, on the eighth day, he's Shemuta B'Truma, he's permitted already to partake of Truma, because he already had sundown. However, Pasul B'Kodesh, however, he's still not allowed to partake from Kachim, which Rashi brings that in Masechta Yevamah stuff, Ayin Dalem Abayis, the Gemara learns out from Psukim, how we know that halacha. But be that as it may, we know that Allah regarding Mechusi Kippurim that's permitted with Truma, but possible Kodesh, if so, therefore, the following Kavol Chaymer takes place. Shlishi Shepasal B'Truma, regarding a Shlishi level of Tuma, which invalidates B'Truma, as we explained, a Truma could become a Shlishi. Now Rashi brings the how do we know that Truma becomes a Shlishi, and that's from a Kavol Chaymer, which is brought in Masechta Saita, which there the Gemara says, that if we find by a Tful Yoim, now a Tful Yoim is also somewhere that it began the process of Tahara, which means that he already immersed in the mikvah, but he didn't yet have Harav Shem, he shouldn't have sundown. Such an individual is already permitted to partake from Meiser, just by having Tefillah, but it's forbidden to have Truma, because for Truma you need to have sundown. Now, if that's the case, so the Gemara there, Masechta the Saita says, so a Sheni Latuma, which invalidates Meiser, so isn't it a Kavol Chaymer that it should make Truma into a Shlishi? Now, based on that Kavol Chaymer, that now that we know that a Shlishi will make Truma Pasul, so therefore, and again, that was only that we know that Truma becomes a Shlishi, based on a different Kavol Chaymer, that if regarding a Tful Yoim that's permitted in Meiser and forbidden in Truma, so a Sheni that's not even allowed to have Meiser, so it definitely has to be more stringent than the Tful Yoim, because it can't even have what the Tful Yoim does have. So all the more so that it should push it further and make the Truma, which is more severe, into a Shlishi. So again, based on that premise that we know that Truma becomes a Shlishi, so Ein Adin, so isn't a Kavol Chaymer, Sheyaseh Revi LaKodesh, that it should make Kachim into a Revi, based on the same logic. Because again, if Mechusi Kippurim is permitted to have Truma, but is possible by Kodesh, so a Shlishi, that even that doesn't have, it says that Truma is going to be possible, so then for sure it has to move even further, so of course it's going to have to make the Kachim into Revi. Now, Rashi brings a question by saying that a concept called Dayei. Dayei Lovi Min Adin Li is Kenidin, meaning to say, wait a second, how do you see that Kachim will become a Revi? In other words, you're right, Mechusi Kippurim seems more lenient. Someone that just didn't have his carbon brought yet, you say that he's allowed to have truma ready, but not allowed to have kachim. So you're right, a shlishi that can't even have truma, for sure if it's going to make truma possible, for sure the shlishi is going to make kachim possible, because kachim is more severe. And if something that could have truma can't have kachim, then something that invalidates even truma, which is a shlishi, that's the level of truma going down, for sure it's going to invalidate kachim. But the problem is that but who says it's going to make it into a Revi? Who said that this Shlishi, again, which is a more severe status of Tumah than a Mechusi Kippurim, and therefore, yes, if the Mechusi Kippurim can't have Kachim, it's invalidated to have that kachim. So for sure, the shlishi is going to be problematic with kachim. You're right, but who said it's going to make that even that the shlishi will then make a kachim into a revi? So that Rashi brings, because if it was just telling us that the shlishi would be not only not good with truma, but even with kachim, then we wouldn't need a kal v'chaymer. Because as the Gemara will bring, we already learn that kachim is a problem with a shlishi from the Torah. Now, and therefore Rashi says, wherever a kal v'chaymer would be basically pointless, which in this case, we wouldn't need a kal v'chaymer to say that kachim is going to be a shlishi, because we know that from a pasuk in the Torah. So then we don't say, dialov and min adin liz kenidin, to say, wait a second, of course we see this point, but who said we take it even further? As the Gemara says, and therefore, that's why the kal v'chaymer allows us to even push it further than we're the source that we're learning it from, and to say that the chumr is even one step further, that's going to make it even to revi. Now Rashi says, although there's an opinion that says that we do say dayoy, so he says that actually these milas that we're discussing about, that you have truma could be a shlishi and the kachim could be a revi, are only rabbinic. And they're not even deraisa. Now, although the Gemara does say that b'lamani shlishi l'kodesh, that we learn out that there's a biblical source for the shlishi from the Torah, and it sounds like that then, but the kal v'chaymer will teach us it makes it into revi. Again, that's just, the Gemara just is discussing that. It's just parenthetically mentioning that because we're discussing that it becomes revi l'kodesh. But that's regarding the source of shlishim in HaTorah. But regarding the kal v'chaymer, again, it's not a kal v'chaymer according to those opinions of a full-fledged. It's just going to be a rabbinic halacha, because Daya actually does maintain and contain that kal v'chaymer and saying, wait a second, yes, you're right. For sure, shlishi is not going to be good with kachim, but who said it makes it into a revi? But again, rabbinically, we do make the kachim into a revi. So the Gemara concludes this discussion by explaining what we just said. So v'lamani shlishi l'kodesh min HaTorah. So regarding kachim, that a shlishi is going to be problematic, that we learn that from the Torah. So therefore, revi b'kal v'chaymer, that means to say that how do you know it becomes revi? That's based on the kal v'chaymer that we just mentioned from Mechusi Kippurim, which is a problem by kachim, but good with truma. So shlishi, which is bad by truma, so most definitely it's going to make the kachim into even a revi. As the Gemara explains, shlish l'kodesh min HaTorah minayin. How do we know, and that's why we don't need the kal v'chaymer to tell us that, and that's why we don't say dayoi, is because the chesed says a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, v'habasar, we're talking about the meat of a carbon shlamim, asher yiga b'chol tameh, that touches anything that's tameh, lo ye'ochel, cannot be eaten, meaning there was a transmission of tameh over here. Now that, the Gemara says, mi lo yeskinon, aren't we by default talking about, in other words, can we not explain the interpretation of the pasuk, since it doesn't specify, dinaga b'sheni, that it's even talking about that if the piece of kachim meat touched a sheni l'tumah, and that's because we find psukim that consider and define a sheni l'tumah as, quote, tame, as the pasuk says regarding when something tame falls into the airspace of a kli cheres. So we say that kol asher b'teicha yitma, whatever is inside the earthenware vessel becomes tame. Now, if you have a sheretz, let's say, that's an avatoma, falling into the airspace of the klicheres, so the vessel is the first thing to contract based on its airspace. That's halacha by klicheres, by earthenware vessel. It becomes a rishon. Now, what that makes is that the next transmission for tumah, for whatever is inside of it, the food and the beverage, becomes a sheni. And yet the pasuk is calling it, kol asher b'teicha yitma become tame. So we see that a sheni is called tumah. So when the pasuk is saying that the basar shlam that touches anything that's tame, that you can't eat it, become Rahman, the Torah says that the baser that's yiga b'chol tameh, even as we explained, that would by default mean even the shein l'tumah, which makes the meat of kachim into shlishi, lo ye'ochel, you can't eat it. And as we explained, that pasuk is tumah by baser shlamim. So that we already know from the Torah that baser shlamim for kachim is going to be a problem, even that it becomes a shlish l'tumah. And Revi, Mekavachem, Hadamar, now this is what we said, Revi is a Kavachem, and that's based on what we said, that if Mechusi Gipurim is okay with Truma, but it's a problem with Kachim, so then Shlisha, which is not good with Truma, for sure it's not going to be good with Kachim, but that we don't need because that is a Pasuk, so that must mean the Kavachem is taking it one step further and says that it even makes by Kachim into a Revi, which is stringency number 8 of Kachim over Truma. Now the Gemara continues with our Mishnah that said the 9th stringency was ubitruma, regarding truma, im nitmis v'chulu, if one of his hands become tame, and again, it's obviously rabbinic tuma because biblical tuma, no matter where your body touches, your whole body becomes tame. We're talking about rabbinic tuma. If one hand becomes tame, which remains on the hands, so then only that hand becomes tame, but the other one is still tahar. But in contrast that to the stringency of kachim, where we say that both hands become tame, and you have to go ahead and immerse both of them to purify them. Now, Amr of Shizvi qualifies this stringency of Kachim. And that is only Bichibur in Shanu. Our Mishnah was told about when the hands are connected. In other words, when it's said in our Mishnah that one hand will make the other hand Tameh regarding Kachim, is talking about that when the Tameh hand is touching the Tar hand, at the same time that the Tar hand is touching, holding the Kachim, let's say holding a piece of a carbon shlamim. Where there, the Rabbanu were geizer, and this how Rav Shizvi is interpreting, that maybe when the tummy hand touched the tar hand, it also touched the piece of the kachim. And Rashi explains, according to the opinion that the Gemara will shortly quote, that this halacha of our Mishnah is not that it makes the kachim tummy, but rather makes a puzzle. So then it would also mean that it makes it puzzle because it's just a ma'ala ba'alma. But be that as it may, Rav Shizvi is saying that it's only if the hands are touching each other, and at the same time that tar hand is touching the kachim. But if they're not connected, in other words, if the case would be talking about that once one removed his tummy hand from the tar hand, then the tar hand went and touched a piece of kachim, then we wouldn't say that. Then actually the piece of kachim would be tahar, because we do not say that the tummy hand makes the other hand tummy to say that it's even going to make it into a shlishi, to then make the kachim puzzle, meaning into revi. We don't say that. It's just a concern that we have of the one tummy hand touching the piece of meat of kachim that's inside the tar hand. But to say that the hand that's a sheni, to touch the other hand, to make it into a shlishi, to then transmit tumah to kachim, which could become a revi, that we didn't say. Now, in that the Gemara says, Eitzri Abaye. Abaye asks from the following braisa. The braisa discusses, essentially, the halacha of our mission that we're discussing right now. And it has a machlekes. The braisa says, Yad neguva. If there's a dry hand, in other words, even though there's no liquid on that hand, but it's tameh, mitame chaverta, which again is the din of a Mishnah, it will transmit tumah to the other, letame lakodesh, to make kachim tameh, which is to then make into a revi. That's the status of what tumah is, which means that that's a term that always says that not only does that object become tameh, but it can then transmit it to something else. Avoloi letruma divirebi, but again, as we said in our Mishnah, that stringency of one hand being mitame the other hand is only for kachim, but not for truma. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Omer, he argues, as Rashi had alluded to this machlikas just before, that lipsul, and that is the one hand will make the other hand puzzle to, in other words, invalidate kachim, which means to say that it could just say whatever it's touching is done. Avolei l'tameh cannot make kachim tameh, which would mean to say that not only does that become tameh, but it could even transmit it to something else. That's the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda. Does this halacha of one hand being metame the other one, is that just regarding psul, that it just makes it kachim will be pasul, or will it even make the kachim tame, that it could even transmit tumah to something else? But however, Abaye concludes his question. He says, "Iyamet b'shloi mishloi b'chiburin." If you would say not like Rav Shizvi, that this halacha stringency regarding kachim is even when the two hands are not touching, still we're going to say that it could transmit tumah to one, to the tar hand, which will then make the kachim tamei. Now, haini revusi dineguva, that would make sense in that braisa machlekes, that would be the chiddush in that we're saying that the hand is dry. That would mean as follows. It would mean even though the hand that's tamei is dry when it touches the tar hand, and what would that mean? What would the chiddush be in that? It means say, and that we wouldn't be concerned that maybe when it touches the tar hand, had it had liquids on it in the tamei diga one, then the liquids would become a rishon l'tumah. Now the reason for that is because as the Gemara codifies this halacha in many places, kala poisel es ha-truma, whatever invalidates truma, meaning psul means say that it ends it off. Now truma can become a shlishi. Means to say if you have something like the yadayim that are a sheni, if that touches truma that makes it pasul, it makes it into shlishi, that's the end of the line, it cannot become a revi, it's pasul, but it becomes invalid. Then it's mitama mashkan liyistchila, it makes beverages that it touches tamei so much that it makes those beverages even to a rishon. As the Gemara elsewhere explains the reason for this gezeres chachamim. But the point is that if the tamei hand had liquids on it, those liquids would actually become a rishon. Now, well, if that would be the case, then that would make even the tar yad also into a sheni, because that means the liquids on the tamei hand went and made the other hand into a sheni. Now, that would be a very simple halacha, that if it was moist, so then of course it becomes a sheni, then it touches the kachim, becomes a shlishi, and then that could go ahead and convey tumah to something else of kachim, make it into a bi, it would be metame the kachim. But that's not the case, we're saying. We're saying that it's dry, and there is no such concern. And even so, that's the chiddush of the brayse, that's still going to be mitame, because we're talking about a maila drabbanan, a rabbinic chumrah, that we say that one hand could be mitame the other one, to make it a sheni like itself, to be a problem for kachim. That again would be a chiddush if we're talking about shaloi b'chiburin, to say that, why? Because neguvo is only relative to the halacha of that, because we're saying that it's not wet. Meaning if it was wet, so then what we're telling you would be a very simple halacha. Of course, a tummy hand with liquid on it makes the liquid into a rishon, touches the other hand, or the liquid rishon makes the other hand into a sheni. Of course now the hand is going to be a problem for kachim that it touches. It's going to make it into a shlishi, which can then make other kachim into a revi. But we're telling you no. We're chiddush that we're telling you is that the hand is dry, that's tummy. Now, and still we're telling you that a dry hand will make the other hand tummy, which will then can transmit tumma to kachim, which can then continue. How is that possible? Because for the chumra of kachim, we'll consider the other hand the same as the tummy hand. But if you say like Rishizvi, that the halacha only applies when the hands are connected and then the tahar hand is touching the kachim, only then do we say that it's going to be transmitting tumma to the kachim, because we're concerned that the tummy hand touched the kachim, but when they're not attached, not. And as we said, it's only because we're concerned the first hand is going to be touching the kachim without mashkin. So then the Gemara's question is, so then my revusa dinaguva. So then what exactly is the chiddush of the hand being dry? In other words, as Rashi says, do you think that the first hand, which is a sheni, cannot be metame the kachim in the tar hand without liquids? What do you mean? It's a sheni. A sheni is definitely a problem for kachim. It makes it into a shlishi, and then that could go ahead and make something else into revi. So again, what is the chiddush in this braisa of nekuva if we interpret it like Rosh Hizvi? Now, the Gemara does not record any response from Rosh Hizvi to Abaya. However, the Rabbi Nechanel does bring down, based on the Gemara we're going to bring right now of Itmar Nami, that one sees from Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, where Rav Shlakish ends up agreeing to Rabbi Yechanan, one sees that he agrees to Rav Shizvi that the halacha only applies when one hand is touching the other, and not like Abaya's question that what would be the chiddush in the guva, that it seems like it's only when the hands are not connected at the time when the tar hand is touching the kachim. So the Gemara continues, Itmar Nami. Similarly, we learned regarding this halacha of our Mishnah of one hand, which is tameh, transmitting tameh to another hand. So Amar Shlakish, he qualifies this halacha that leishanu ele yaday. We only learned it regarding this same individual who one hand is tameh, that then that go ahead and be metameh his other hand. We continue our tameh days. But if his tameh hand touched his friend's hand, then like it's not going to transmit tameh to his friend's hand. Rabbi Yechonama, he argues, he says, no, echad yaday ve'echad yad chaveri, whether it's his other hand or whether it's his friend's hand, the halacha will apply. Now, however, there is a qualification that it's only ba'isa hayad. This that his hand can be metame, his friend's hand, is only the original hand that became tame. That touches his friend's hand, it could be metame. But the other hand, although rabbinically we're making these chumras regarding kachim, we consider that tame like a sheni, like the first original hand, but that hand, that other hand, cannot be metame, his friend's hand. Moreover, it's only lipsul. It's only to invalidate kachim. That is what the halacha of that one hand is being metame, the other hand allows us to do, avaloi letame. But it's not going to be metame kachim, as we explained. The tummy digger hand, if it touches kachim, most definitely is going to make the kachim tummy, not just possible, because it's going to make it into a shlishi, which will then make other kachim into revi. Now, although we're talking about dry hands, although we're saying that there is a concern of the tummy hand, even if we're saying like Rav Shizvi, that's going to touch the kachim that's in the other hand, or in this friend's hand. However, although that's a concern, but we're only going to be making the concern as much as we'll say that, okay, the kachim that maybe he touched in his other hand or in his friend's hand will be pasul, which means they will make it like a revi b'kodesh, but we're not going to make it tameh, that'll make it into a shlishi, which will then make another kachim into a revi, because again, although the concern is that a sheni touched it, but it's not a concern that we have, as we see by Truma, we don't have that concern. And therefore, we only make it into pasul, but not into tameh. Now, Rabbi Yechonon says, Mimai, how do I know this halacha that aga in Rish Lakish, that it not only applies to his other hand, but even to his friend's hand? Midigtani Seifa, from the fact that we learned by the end of the Mishnah. Meaning, our Mishnah, it says, Shehayad mitame chaverta. In other words, it says this stringency of kachim over truma. Truma only have to then wash one of the hands, not both. We said by kachim, you have to wash both. Now, it ends off that stringency by saying, and you know what? Shehayad metame chaved lekaydish, because one hand is metame the other hand for kachim. Avaloy lechuma, but by truma it doesn't apply, and therefore, you only have to wash both by kachim, not by truma. Now, the question, Rabbi Yochanan says, hasul amali. Why the redundancy in this sentence regarding this stringency? Hatana le reisha. The first half of that statement already said that for kachim you have to be table both hands, and not like truma that you only have to do one hand. Now, from that we would understand that because one hand is being metame the other hand. Why repeat it? And the reason is because one hand is metame the other hand for kachim. So Rabbi Yechon says, so obviously you can infer from that redundancy, la'asu yad chaver. That's coming to include his friend's hand. When it says, shayad metame chaverta, is not only saying his own hand, because that we know, because he already said he has to table both his hands. Rather, it's coming to say, even his friend's hand, that there we're going to say that the stringency applies to say the kachim that he's holding will be possible. And the Gemara says, v'af ha-shlokash ha-debe. As we find, Shlokash ultimately retracted and agreed to Rabbi Yechonan, as we see, he agrees that it's not just for his own hand, his other tar hand, but also for his friend's hand. And as Rabbi Yechonan had said, it's only ba'isa hayad, the original tummy hand, can then make a problem for his friend's hand. And again, it's only lipsul, only to invalidate the kachim, avaloy tame, but not to make it tummy. So Shlokash and Rabbi Yechonan both agree that it applies not just to his own hand, but even to his friend's hand. However, it only makes the kachim puzzle, but it doesn't make it tummy. However, the Gemara does tell us, this qualification that Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish agreed upon, that it could only make the kachim into, let's say, like a revi, puzzle, but not into a shlishi, even though, again, our concern is that maybe the tummy hand that's a sheni touched it, it will not make it into a tummy, it actually is a machlegis tanoim. That's not like, learn the Mishnah Masech Tzidayim. Mishnah tells us, kalapaisel b'tshuma, as we quoted this Talmudic dictum on Amud Aleph, that whatever invalidates truma, meaning to say it turns the truma into a shlishi, that's the term pasul always, meaning that's the end of the line that cannot transmit it further, but it itself becomes tame. Now that means to say what we're referencing is a sheni, because a sheni makes truma pasul, meaning into a shlishi. So whenever you have a sheni, it's metami adayim liyashnias. Therefore, if hands touch the sheni, the hands themselves, this is a rabbinic restriction that the Rabbanu were geyser, it makes the hands themselves into a shein l'tumah. Moreover, it's v'yad metame chaverta, one hand can be metame the other hand, divrei Rabbi Yeshua. V'chamayimim, they say, no, yadayim shniyas hain. Hands are only secondary level tumas. Now, v'ein sheini, eisa sheini. What does that mean? How could one hand be metame the other hand? The limit that hands can become tame are sheini, they don't become shlishis. And if one hand is tame, meaning that it's a sheini, because let's say it touched the sheini, it can't go ahead and make the other hand into a sheni, because that's their limit. Now, so the Gemara says, it seems to be, this is the machlekes tanoim. My love, sheni hu delay abed. What are the chum saying? That one hand cannot make the other hand into a sheni. Hashlishi avid, but it sounds like they're saying, but it makes the other hand into a shlishi, meaning the halacha of yad bing metame chaverta regarding kachim is a halacha regarding paisel. And as Rashi says, but what we could infer is that Rabbi Yeshua, who argues and says, no, that the yad is metame chaverta, meaning it's metame to be the same as the other hand, meaning a sheni, which means to say that it is metame, meaning it becomes a sheni, therefore when it touches kachim, it makes it into shlishi, which can make other kachim into revi, and therefore that's machlokes tanoim. Nothing more says no, because maybe when the Chacham said that yadayim hashniyos, it can't make the sheni into another sheni, dima loy sheni avid v'loy shlishi, they hold, they don't even hold of the rabbinic restriction that our Mishnah was saying as a chumrah of kachim. They don't hold of this maila, that one yad can be metame the other hand. But however, the one that does hold of it, like Rabbi Yeshua does, would hold that it's being metame. In other words, maybe actually everybody in this Mishnah, Masech Tzidayim, argues in the Shlach Shabbi Yechon. You don't see it as machleg istanoim, because Chacham say that it can't make into sheni, but doesn't mean, but they hold that it's going to make into shlishi. They say, no, one hand is done. You can't be metame the other one. Not a sheni, not a shlishi, but sure not, because the max that hands become are a sheni. And Rabbi Shua says, no, one yat is metame. That's the rabbinic chumrah by kachim. And he holds that it makes it into a sheni, which is metame, but you don't see machleg istanoim. So rather, the Gemara says, ki hani tanoi. It's like the tanoim that we mentioned on Omet Aleph. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. The Braisa said, Yad neguva, when you have a hand that's tame, but it's dry, it's metames chaverta, it's still going to be metame the other hand, letame bakoidish, to make kachim tame, Avaloy l'truma, but not for truma. As we said, it's only rabbinic chumer regarding kachim, not truma divi rebbe. Basically, Huda Omer, he says, oisa yad, as we said, Rish Lakish and Yechanan, that's only that hand, that the tummy hand, which will then make it lipsul, only pasul, avaloy l'tame, but not tame. That is like Rish Lakish and Yechanan. That they said, it's only that hand, we can transmit the tumma, whether to his own hand or to someone else's hand. However, it's only going to make it the kachim pasul, but not tame, and therefore we see that Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan is going like Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a machlokes hanoyim because Rebbe holds that it'll even make the kachim into tame, as we said, because the concern is maybe the yad that's sheni is going to transmit the tuma, which means to say that the kachim in the other person's hand or his other hand is going to become a shlishi, which then means to say that it's tame because then it can make another kachim into a revi. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah for the 10th chumra of kachim over truma. So he said, Eichlen neguvim b'yadayim misoyi b'yis b'chulu, that when one is eating truma, he could eat tame, he could eat an object, a food object, that's dry with tame hands, because what's the concern? If it was always dry, it never became wet, never became moist, so it never became susceptible to tuma, has to first come in contact with water. So even though your hands are tame, there's no concern because the truma is not becoming tame because it was never susceptible. But by kachim, even then, one cannot eat it with tummy hands. So the Gemara explains, Tanya learned in the Braisa, that Amr b'chanina ben Atignis, he wondered about this chumra. T'chiyesh neguva l'kodesh, is there even this conceptualization of the case of having a piece of kachim, food item of kachim, that's, quote, dry? In other words, dry that it was never come in contact with something wet, moist, to make it susceptible to tumah, to say that it's astringency by kachim? But v'alochibas ha-kodesh machshirasan. There's a halachic concept called chibas ha-kodesh, as we mentioned in the previous daf, an endearment of kachim, which means to say that even if it's not even a food item, or if it's a food item, it doesn't have to be susceptible to tumah by coming in contact with water, because just the fact that it's kachim makes it susceptible to tumah. And hence the Gemara is wondering, isn't this so obvious? What is the chiddush that we're saying that it's a chumra of kachim? So I think Gemara says loy tzricha. No, actually, the case that we're talking about is, we didn't have to tell you the chiddush of that if the kachim food item is dry, that it wasn't hukshur for kachim. Because, as we explained, that's obvious. Chibas ha-kodesh is machshur. Rather, we're saying that it actually was susceptible to tum. It came in contact, let's say, with water. But now it's dry. But it is susceptible to tum. Now, what our Mishnah had to tell us was talking about a case where someone's eating these dry kachim. But the thing is that we're talking about when he's eating also dried chulin, unconsecrated produce, and he's eating the kachim. So now the Gemara says loy tzricha. Now actually, the case is much different than how it sounds like on Pashup Shat. That we did not need to say that this is dry, meaning to say that it was never susceptible to tumah by kachim. Rather, we're actually talking about that the kachim is, and the truma is, susceptible to tumah, but just now it's dry, and therefore it is mekabel tumah. Moreover, our Mishnah did not have to tell us that we're talking about when you're eating dried kachim. Rather, we're talking about that you're eating dried chulin, unconsecrated produce, and he's eating kachim. As the Gemara explains the following case. This is the case we're discussing. For example, if his friend, who had tahar hands, went and stuck into l'teich piv, into his mouth. Now, the one who's eating has tame hands, but the one who's sticking the food into his mouth has tar hands. Or you could have the same type of case, shetachav hula atzmai, he, the one with tummy hands, stuck the food into his mouth, but he used bekush with a toothpick or becharcher or with a stick where they're what's called pshute kliates, they're flat wooden utensils, which since they don't have a receptacle, cannot contract tumma. So therefore, the food that's coming in his mouth is tahar. Now, however, ubikush lechel tznoin ubitzal shalchul nimon, so he's eating kachim meat, okay, even though he has tummy hands because he never touched it. However, he wants to eat now either a radish or an onion of chulin together with that kachim. Now, the thing is that yudayim that are not metame chulin, because the hands themselves are a sheni, and chulin do not become shlishi. However, the problem is that l'kodesh gazu b'hu rabbanan, that is, for kachim, the rabbanan will gezer, that he should not eat these radishes or onions with the kachim that's in his mouth, because maybe when he's sticking the onion in his mouth, maybe those tummy hands will touch the kachim in his mouth, and a sheni yad will make the kachim into a shlishi. However, l'truma, even though, truth is, when you have tummy hands, that will be paisel truma, which it could become a shlishi, but l'gazab rabbanan did not make this maila, because they said the person will be careful and he won't touch the truma in his mouth. And this is essentially, as Rashi says, what the Mishnah was saying in this 10th chumrah. And that is, a person could eat chulin, unconsecrated produce, with yedai misoyavos, with tummy hands, with truma, but not with hektish. Now that's why we spoke about that it was dry. Why? Because if it would be that it was wet now, meaning on this chulin food, so then the liquid would become a rishon because of the hand that's touching the radish or the onion, because we said a sheni makes a liquid into a rishon, therefore that would make the chulin that the liquid's under, that's touching, the liquid's touching, into a sheni. Then when that goes into your mouth, that sheni chulin will touch the truma in his mouth, which will make it into a shlishi and make it a pasul, and therefore it has to be talking about that you're eating dried chulin, which is not a concern when the food goes in of being metame, because the yad cannot be metame the food, the onion or the radish itself. However, we made a stringency regarding kachim because we're concerned that maybe when you're sticking in your mouth, your finger, your hand might touch the kachim inside and make it into a shlishi, which is a problem for kachim. However, although that would be a problem for truma we didn't make that stringency because we said the person will be careful when he's sticking it in, not to stick his hand in and touch the truma inside his mouth. Now the Gemara concludes the 11th stringency of chemi b'kachim b'truma. We said ha'einin, someone that lost a close relative, like let's say like a parent, chas v'shalom, on that day, or mechusi kippurim, someone that's lacking atonement, as we had explained, it's a reference to somebody who already tayveled, already had sundown, on the eighth day, the following day, he has to bring his karbanis, but didn't bring it yet. So he says such a person requires tvila, immersion, to partake from kachim, but he doesn't need anything more, and he could partake from truma already. So the Gemara is my time, why is it that you need a tefillah for kachim? What's wrong over here? He's already tar for kachim. So the Gemara explains that kiven da'ad ha'idna ha've asiri, since up until now, these two individuals were forbidden to partake from kachim. And that's because a mechusi kippurim is permitted to have truma, but forbidden in kachim. So to an einin, even though he's forbidden to partake, even from Meister Sheni, the einin, but it's actually permitted in truma, as the Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos, because there's an extra v'chol zar in every non-koyin, where from there the Gemara learns to say that regarding truma, I only made it forbidden for you if you're a zar, a non-koyin, but not an einin. So therefore we find that these two individuals, when he's an einin, when he's a mechusi kippurim, he's forbidden to partake from kachim. So when they finally are allowed to partake from kachim, after he brings his carbon, and after he's not an einin anymore, but since there was a time period that they were forbidden, so they required a tefillah as a differentiation between those two time periods, and that's why there's a necessity of tefillah, not because they're tummy in any way, and that's why there's no problem with truma, but however, regarding kachim, since you were forbidden for kachim for that time period, therefore we required a tefillah to make a hecker and say that now you could partake from kachim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which is the reverse of the previous Mishnah that opened up our parak, where we spoke about 11 stringencies of kachim over truma. Now our Mishnah says two stringencies of truma over kachim. Mishnah says, chayme b'truma, the stringency of truma is that Shabbi Yehuda, that in Judea, an area in Eretz Yisrael, nemonim, the ameratzim, the ignoramuses are believed, they're trustworthy, al taras yayin v'shemen, regarding the purity of their wine and their oil of kachim. That's where that's a leniency of kachim. That is, if let's say they're makdish, this wine, which are nesachim on the mizbeach, or the oil that's used in different avodas, for example, in the different menachis. So if he does this at the time of the pressing of the wine and the oil, so he's believed regarding that he's safeguarded in the state of tahara, kol yemei sashana, all the days of the year. Now the Gemara will explain, so why to pick just Judea? It should be any area in Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, that's a leniency regarding kachim, that's a stringency regarding truma, as the Mishnah explains that ubishas hakitas v'abadim. Now, at the time of the pressing of the wine and the oil, where there everybody purifies their vessels based on the sages, so then afala truma. Then even regarding truma, the amaratzim would be believed. But the stringency of truma is that over hakitas v'abadim, if the time of the pressing has passed by, already passed that season, and then v'viyuloi the amaretz brings to the kohen, that's a chaver, that's meticulous about the halachas of tumah tahara, a chaver shal yayin shal truma, a barrel of wine of truma, so then lo yikablenu mimenu, and I'll accept from him. That's the stringency that is not believed regarding the tahara of that truma, which in contradistinction to the kachim, where he is believed the entire year. However, the Mishnah does tell us, Aval Manicha, what the Amoritz could do, is that he leaves it Legas Haba, for the upcoming time of the pressing, and then they could give it to the Kohen, because at the time of the pressing, they're considered trustworthy, and we believe them. Now, Vim Amalai, and moreover, if the Amoritz tells the Kohen that he's bringing the barrel of wine Truma to, he says, Hefrashti L'Techa Revi'ez Kodesh, not only is this Truma wine in here, but I also designated inside over here, a Revi'ez of Kachem wine, so, since he's believed on the Kachem, as we said, that's a leniency of Kachem, that we believe him all year round. So he's also believed on the Truma, and then you could take the Truma wine from him even during the rest of the year. The second stringency is, if you have Kadi Yain v'Kadi Shemen, barrels of wine or barrels of oil, that are mixed together, now the Gemara will explain exactly what this case is talking about and where we see a stringency of Truma over Kachem. But originally the Gemara will assume that it's talking about a case of where there's Tevel and Truma and Chul mixed together. So in that the Mishnah tells us, Nemonim Aleim B'Shas HaGitas V'Abadim. So they're considered believed regarding this status at the time of the Gitas, which that's the pressing of the wine, and the Badim, which is the pressing of the oil. And moreover, they're even believed V'Koidim LeGitas Shivim Yoyim. They even believed before the pressing for a period of 70 days because they prepared their vessels already a nice time before and 70 days before, so the Kalim already tar. So at that point in time already, they already believed regarding, as we said, by Truma, we believed him at the time of the Gitas and the Badim, that they already believed at those times and even 70 days before.